the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
That's right, Bucket Strategy Investing. We welcome all, one and all, back to yet another edition of the program where we've got more of the information coming up for you. Brain Trust here in the form of Professor Rick Plum, who joins me. I'm Johnny Dean. We're here from Lucia Capital Group to talk to you about your money and all that stuff. Big topic at the gate is going to be reverse mortgages. And we didn't, I guess the last time we talked about this, it's been a little while. I said we were going to move it to a future date. Well, it's been a couple of months at least. We didn't get a chance to get into these reverse mortgages the last time it came up quite a while back. So we will cover these questions about who is eligible for a reverse mortgage. Can they possibly play a role in your financial plan? You know, many people don't realize that they could have this particular option, draw money out of their home equity so that they can pay their bills, and oftentimes people do use it. It's a strategy that can work under the right circumstances. But also people are being told in some cases, get a reverse mortgage, take the lump sum out and invest it with me. Probably not a great idea. So we're going to tell you about the different kinds that are available to you and how they should be structured and all the rules and so forth. Everything you need to know coming up shortly. And with that, your chance to call in and ask a question is right now. Phone lines are open. 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. You can also go to wealthed.com. You send us an email or two. Whatever's on your mind, you click on the Find Your Answer link there near the top of the page. Either way, you'll reach the Brain Trust and you get your questions answered. So we're going to say hello to Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Hello.
Hello.
There you go.
Done now?
Almost. Nah, you know what? I'm going to need you to hang around for just a little bit.
Anything for you, John.
Anything for me. All right. Well, there you go. It's on. It's on film. It's on tape. It's everywhere. Professor Plum, we're going to bring him back into the limelight. So how about this for some advice, huh? You need to get a strategy. You need to get a strategy that addresses of your individual goals and needs. If it's not addressing your goals and needs, then it's not a strategy, is it? You can talk to the people at Lucia Capital Group about your particular strategy. The phone number, that their phone number off there, you can reach them at 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. I'll tell you this, you need a bucket strategy. The Brain Trust managers will put one together for you. Talk to any of them about your financial future. Get your financial plan in order. Off air, 800-644-1150. 1150 on the air, 877-PLANNER. We got plenty of room on the phones right now, so if you want to give us a call, call now. It does not have to be on reverse mortgages, although we're going to be talking about that right here. Anything that's on your mind that's bothering you with regard to your finances, questions, you call. We got the Brain Trust standing by, 877-PLANNER. I guess I should start off by saying, for people who don't know what they are, just talk about what a reverse mortgage actually is.
Well, the part of it that's reversed, somebody is still loaning you money. But the part of it that's reversed is, typically in a traditional mortgage, when somebody loans me money, I have to start making payments back to them right away on a monthly basis. And so it's a cash flow item to me. I borrow the money and buy something and I pay them back over time. Every month I make a paycheck or a payment to them. On a reverse mortgage, there's no payment. So instead of them loaning me money and me making a payment back to them, they loan me the money and then they are willing to wait until I either die or sell the property to get repaid. Now, for the period of time where I'm not making any payments back to them, but after they've loaned me the money, the interest accrues. It builds within the contract. It builds within the loan. So the outstanding balance on the loan, unlike one where I'm paying it off, where the balance goes down, on a reverse mortgage, the balance goes up because I'm not making any payments and they're adding the interest to the loan every year. It does have a place for some people, not everybody, for some people in their retirement strategy. There's unfortunately a lot of people now that are very, very much house rich, cash poor, so to speak. They're buying the bigger house later in life and they're still carrying a mortgage, but it's very difficult to retire with that monthly payment. So depending upon how much of a mortgage you have compared to the value of the house, you may be able to reduce your outflow, your cash flow, by doing a reverse mortgage and still allow yourself to stay in that house. That's kind of a key. The desire to stay in the house for a long time or for the rest of your life, that's kind of a key issue, because I was speaking with somebody just the other day. They're 66 years old, and they were thinking they've got a very nice house, very big house, and they're thinking that it may become too big for them in the next couple of years to take care of, because there's quite a bit of land associated with it as well. And so they're thinking that in 5, 6, 7 years, they may sell the property and move to a less expensive area. But there are also somebody was pushing them to do a reverse mortgage right now. And I couldn't figure out why. I go, if you're just going to sell it in a couple of years, then why? What?
Right.
Don't do a reverse mortgage now. He goes, well, it's free. I go, no, reverse mortgages aren't free. And this is where the big bugaboo is. Most people don't like them for the reason that there's an expense up front. He goes, well, if I don't borrow the money, I'm just getting an equity line, basically, the ability to draw money out. Well, reverse mortgage people don't work for free. Now, an equity line, you know, they will do that. They'll give you an equity line. It may cost $50, $100 a year to have an open equity line. But if you borrow against the money, then you have to pay it back. A reverse mortgage is different. There's usually some upfront costs involved in doing a reverse mortgage. And he was saying, oh, yeah, they said something about $10,000, which didn't surprise me. But so what he was going to end up doing was starting off today with a $10,000 outstanding balance on money he didn't need. And then 5 years from now, 6 years from now, when he sells it, he's just going to have to pay back that loan. But if there's no need for the loan, it just didn't make any sense. Now, he was old enough. John said earlier, they're not for everybody. In fact, not everybody can actually get a reverse mortgage. You do have to be age. But is it the right time to get one at 62? At 62, you're not going to get a huge percentage of your property value in the reverse mortgage. The older you are, the larger the percentage of the equity, or the larger percentage of the value you're going to get. Why? Because the sooner that the person who loans you the money is going to get paid back, and the less the loan will accumulate, the less likely the loan will accumulate to a value more than what the house is worth. And so they will give you more the older that you are.
Yeah, and there's a whole lot more to these. There's strategies related to this too, and how they're structured and all that stuff. So we'll get into anything that you want to get into as far as this is concerned, or whatever else. 877-PLANNER is our number, PLANNER. We'll talk more about reverse mortgages. We'll take a couple of calls because we got a couple of people on hold right now. Still three lines open, 877-PLANNER. Let's go back James now in Doraville, Georgia, up next. Hello, James.
Good morning. How are you gentlemen today?
Doing well. How can we help you today?
Great. I turned 66 in November last year and started my social early at 62, and I understand there's something coming up before April and I was wondering, would it be to my advantage to go back and suspend and then try to pick it up? And so would I have to pay all those years back, or what that would be? And I also have a tax question. I'm in a 15% tax bracket. I adjusted gross of $43,000, taxable of $31,000, and was wondering how much I could draw out of my $457,000 that I could add to that without going up to a higher tax bracket.
Well, let's take the file and suspend option first. Are you, you're single because of the tax bracket looking up, I'm thinking.
Correct.
Is there anybody that can potentially take a benefit from you?
No.
How long might you live?
Probably a couple hundred years old.
Oh, if you're going to live to be a couple hundred years old, then, or even just 100 years old, I would say suspending your benefit does make some sense. Now, you would go without a check for up to 3-4 years. You're 66, so it'd be 3.5 years. At age 70, it would kick back in, and it would kick back in at a larger amount because it would be deferred for a couple of years, you know, 36, 38 months. So it would give you a benefit if longevity is an issue. Now, the April deadline for you has nothing to do with anything. You don't have anybody that's going to take a benefit from you. You're not going to. So you can file and suspend purely because of you. You're single. You're not worried about somebody taking a benefit from you. So you're looking at it just from your standpoint. And if you're going to live to be 100, suspending your benefit today, letting it grow until age 70, will make sense over time. It takes a couple years, takes about a decade or so for that to make sense. And so it, as long as you live into your mid-80s, it's going to make some sense. 100 makes a lot of sense. Now, as far, go ahead.
So do I have to go back and pay back to age 62, or how much would I have to?
Actually, you don't have to pay anything back. And in fact, you're not allowed to pay anything back.
Oh, okay.
You do have the option of suspending it, meaning calling them and saying, don't send me any more checks for a while. But you can't go back and do what you're do a withdrawal of benefits. You can't undo what you've already done.
Okay.
That's only allowed in the first 12 months of receiving a Social Security benefit.
Oh, okay.
You've been receiving it for more than 4 years, so they're not going to let you undo it. But you can suspend it going forward.
Great.
And so that may make some sense if you're going to live to be a couple hundred, especially, you know, over the years you'll get a lot more money.
I'd say at least 80 or 90.
Mm-hmm. Well, 80 doesn't do it for me. 90 does. So
you
promised me you're going to live well into your late 80s, and it's okay.
Okay.
Otherwise, don't suspend it.
Okay.
Does that help you out?
And then
that
we'll...
does answer that. On that adjustable, like I said, I think I'm in the 15%.
You are?
Taxable income was a 31, and I have a 457. I was wondering how much can I draw to that to add to that without jacking me up to a higher end tax.
Well, I'll tell you what, we can talk to you more about that. I just have to take a quick break here, James. If you can hang for just a couple of minutes, we will come back and talk to you more about this and answer any other questions that you might have. So don't go away. We will, 457, we can cover that. Anything else? 877-PLANNER. Lines are open. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Coming right back. Market Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER, our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We're here to answer all your money questions, and we got a couple of lines open still, so if you get on board right now, you will get through to the Brain Trust. Talk to us about taxes, Social Security, your pension plans, how much you need for retirement, any of that stuff. We're here to answer your questions and maybe give you some peace of mind with regard to retirement. 877-752-6637. All right, let's go back to James in Doraville, Georgia. James, you still with us?
There.
Okay, good. Professor Plum, you got a couple of numbers from him.
Right. Now, you're looking at how much room do you have to potentially convert some of your 457 money over to Roth IRA. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, if you suspend your Social Security benefit, obviously, you're not going to be getting some money. You mentioned off the air that your Social Security was roughly $1,100 a month. You're going to need to take that out of the 457 to be able to survive? Do you need that income? Or what are you going to do about that if you suspend?
No, I could possibly make it on the other income. If I suspend the Social, the only thing would be is questionable. It'd be how to pay for the Part B and the Medicare and all that.
Yeah, they'd have to put you on a direct bill. They would, you know, would charge you straight up on that.
Yeah, but I could live without the about $1,100 a month if I had to.
Well, I mean, you're retired. Why do you want to do something that you have to? Why don't you do what you want to? Now, the
I'm just looking which is the best way to leave the 457 till 70 and a half and take mandatory or go ahead and...
How large is it?
It's about 60.
60,000?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see, I mean, if you're going to suspend the Social Security, then I would do some Roth conversions. So if you're going to suspend the Social Security, even though it's about $13,000 a year in actual income, it's not that much of taxable income, so it's not going to drop your taxable income by $13,000. It'll probably drop it by about $8,000 or $9,000 because you're in the middle of the scaling of what's going on. So you could take enough out of the 457, you know, maybe, you know, $1,500, $1,800 a year to pay for the Medicare Part B, and then convert probably about, you've got about about $10,000 to $13,000 of room in the 15% income tax bracket. So if you suspend your benefit, take a little bit to pay the Medicare, and then do a conversion up to the top, which is about $10,000. And so you could do maybe 40 of that 60 over to a Roth in the next 4 years before the required contribution hits. And then when the RMD does hit, it's only about $800. You could actually convert the next amount over the next couple of years and be done with it. If you're not to suspend the Social Security, I probably would just wait until age 70 to take my 457 money, RMD, unless I found something I really wanted to spend the money on. Because you're in that phase-in zone where every new dollar you show on the tax return, if you're also receiving your Social Security, will create not only a tax on that dollar you took out of the 457, but it'll create a tax on 85 cents of the Social Security you're receiving. So the reality is that $1 of conversion, if you do it while you're receiving your Social Security, is costing you almost 28 cents in taxes. So if you're going to do the Roth conversions, I would do the suspension and over the next 3-4 years. Otherwise, I just wait until 70 and a half.
Okay, that sounds practical and a good reason. I don't necessarily have to suspend it, but I was just wondering if it was that big of a benefit to do that, to a couple hundred more a month or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to live to 90 and 100, a couple hundred, like you said, it makes a lot of sense. If all you do is make it to 80, it doesn't make sense to defer or to suspend it.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, thank you so very kindly out there, and appreciate your great help on the show.
Well, we thank you for giving us a call, James, and you call anytime. Good to hear from you. He asked some really good questions. Now, this is something that a lot of people don't pay attention to, what you said, in doing the conversions, or they forget. They forget that if they are taking their Social Security, that's something else that could wind up being in a taxable. And they say, well, wait a minute, how come my tax bill jumped so much? I stayed in the same tax bracket, I thought.
Potentially, yeah. And just looking at the brackets, he said his taxable income was $31,000, thereabouts, we rounded off. And if all you do is look up the tax tables and you say, well, a single person can have up to $37,000 of taxable income in 2016 and stay in the 15% bracket, well, that means I have about $6,600 worth of room to do conversions. So if you did a $6,600 conversion and you thought you were going to pay $990 in taxes, you're going to be mistaken, because it's going to cost you more than that. Because if you, for every dollar that he converts, at least for a little while, not only is that dollar, he's going to pay tax on $1.85, a dollar of the conversion and 85 cents of his Social Security that wasn't previously taxable until he hits the maximum number. So that's why if he suspends his benefit, now he's got a true 15% bracket for a while. But if he's in that Social Security phase-in rule range, and the range is different for everybody, it depends on how much other income you have versus how much Social Security you have, but he's in it, and he's paying tax on $1.85 for every new dollar he shows.
Yeah, and you wind up paying a bigger tax bill than you had intended to.
That's about 27, almost 28% tax on that dollar, even though you're in the 15% bracket.
For single people, the phase-in, there's an income phase-in. Talk about that. You mentioned that, but people aren't necessarily aware of what that is.
And it's not easy to tell, because you can't just look at your adjusted gross income, because the phase-in happens in between these areas. They're using something called the modified adjusted gross income, not the adjusted gross income. And adjusted gross income is basically you look at all the incomes that you have on your tax return. Pensions, IRA distributions, wages if you have any of those, or your, interest. Capital losses actually help reduce it. Capital gains increase your modified adjusted gross income. Same thing with passive income. Passive income on the negative side, passive losses reduce your modified adjusted gross income. Passive incomes increase it. So you're looking at all of these different income streams, plus municipal bond interest if you have any, and you add all those up. Now, I didn't mention Social Security yet, have I? I haven't, because you don't use that yet. You add up all these other sources of income, and then you take your Social Security, the amount that was paid to you, not necessarily what you received, because it's the gross check that they pay to you before the Medicare Part B and D deduction, before any other deductions. So how much were they paying me gross? Add that up, divide it in two, because you only use half of the Social Security in the modified adjusted gross income calculation. And you come up with a number. All these other incomes plus half the Social Security, that's your modified gross income. Now all you do is you compare that to some thresholds. If you are a single individual and you're over $25,000, and that's an easy one to remember because they haven't changed it since 1983, and they're not going to change it. So $25,000 for a single individual. If you're over that, then some of your Social Security is taxable. But you have to look at it also and say, am I over the next threshold?
Which they added like 20, 25 years ago.
It was 1993.
Yeah.
And that's $34,000 for a single individual. And again, that one's not going to change either. There's no cost of living benefit on those. There's no expansion of the taxation. Expansion of the threshold. If you're over the first one but under the second one, you just figure out how much you're over it, and half of that amount is how much of your Social Security is taxable. If you're over the second one, then you look at it and you say, well, 85% of the excess plus half of the difference between the first two up to a maximum of 85%. It was easy.
It was going great. It was going great. And then, you know, about a minute ago, it started to go downhill.
For the married person, the bottom threshold is 32. The top threshold is 4.
Okay, there you go. If you have questions on it, call. It's probably easier to do that. 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, Bucket Strategy Investing continues. Taking your phone calls, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. That's what we do on this program. We offer advice, we offer money answers, solutions, strategies, all that stuff right here live on the program. We also offer it live in person and getting close. Once again, we're in full swing here with the workshops. The next one is happening this Saturday, like 48 hours from now in Seattle, Washington, this Saturday, February 27th. Still room to sign up. We'll make room for everybody. You give us, actually, best thing to do is go to wealthed.com, our website, wealthed.com. At the live events tab, click on that and just tell us you're coming, give us your name, and it's all free. You show up and learn all about my retirement income strategies. So Seattle happens this Saturday. After that, Phoenix, Arizona, and then Portland, Oregon on the following Saturday, March 19th. So you got Seattle, Phoenix, and Portland, the next three. A few more after that going into April. If you want to know where the Brain Trust will be hanging out, or if you'd like us to join you in your city and we're not coming, let us know. You go to wealthed.com, wealthed.com. Okay, 877-PLANNER, our number. We got some room on the phones, but not a lot. 877-752-6637. Let's move along next to Gil in Philadelphia, PA. Hello, Gil.
Hello.
What's up?
I've got a question about RMDs and taxes.
Okay.
So I'm 67 years old.
All right.
Taking Social Security now, it's about $31,000 a year. I have cash. I have plenty of cash. Worried about, but what I've done was for the buckets, I've set up CDs.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just wondering, my traditional IRA is about $750,000, and I'm just wondering, rather than use the CDs, if I shouldn't use some of the IRAs to fund my cash as we go along.
Potentially, especially once you get to 70 years of age, your required minimum distribution is going to be, you know, $28,000 a year. Now, how much does it take for you to live? Where is the money coming from to live?
The cash that I have plus the Social Security, the $31,000.
Okay, so the only income you have is the distribution of cash, which isn't really taxable because it's not earning anything, right?
Right, right.
And then the Social Security. So right now you're not paying any taxes. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I just retired this past the end of July this past year, so
okay.
So I did pay. Yeah. So
are you married or single?
I'm married. My wife's 65.
Okay, and is she getting a Social Security benefit?
She will start collecting at full retirement age in 66.
Okay, and her benefit.
She'll be drawing on mine, so she'll be drawing about $16,000 a year.
Okay, so about half of that, so $16,000.
Yeah.
Okay, so you should be looking at taking at least some amount of money out of your IRAs at this point, because you can take it out tax-free. Between,
right.
You got 31 and 16, so you got 47,000, 23.5. You've got another 10,000 or so that you can take out as taxable income and pay absolutely no income taxes on it. Now, once
okay.
You get past the 10,000, you're going to go into a situation where any new dollar is going to be taxed, obviously, on that dollar, but 50 cents for a little while will be taxed on the Social Security area. So, and you'll be in the 10% bracket, so it's like paying a 15% bracket on the withdrawals. And so I would look at structuring my income. Now, this year is going to be a tough year, though, because your wife has been working or not?
No. No,
okay.
She has not been working. She's been retired. She just hasn't gotten Social Security.
Okay.
Now, I do have dividends and capital gains of about $30,000.
$30,000 of dividends and capital gains.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then that's going to cost.
And we have I have deductions usually of approximately $25,000 off the taxes.
Okay, with $30,000 of capital gains and other things, you're already looking at paying, at least showing a decent portion of your Social Security on the taxable column. and then when your wife's Social Security. So yeah, there is some playing. Now with $75,000 or $750,000, it's a decimal issue. I should have worked for the government, right? It's your required minimum distribution is going to be close to $30,000. So the question is, do you want to go the next 3-4 years and pay no taxes and then start paying it, or do you want to start paying it earlier? I'm kind of looking at you might unless you need it, you might as well wait until you turn 70 and a half and have to take it out, unless you want to do big conversions and really get it done.
So it's good to you. So if you would suggest then just continue using CDs as they mature to fund the cash? And
I mean, you're going to be in a tax bracket. You're going to be in the Social Security is going to be fully taxable in 4 years. If you do a conversion, it's going to be fully taxable. You're not really saving that much by doing the conversions right now. The RMDs, yeah, they're going to be big. They're going to be $30,000 a year. You're going to need to start stepping it up and spending some of this money. Come on, the economy needs you a little bit. But I'm not sure there's a huge tax benefit. I'd have to work through some math a little more, but I think you're fine the way you are.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Gil, I'll tell you what. Professor's got some good ideas here. If you can hang on, I'm going to have him just help you out a little bit, draw up a little bit more detailed plan for you to help you out. I have to get to another call before the break. So if you don't mind, if you can hang on, that would be great. Professor, once again, another opportunity here. Gil is set up pretty nicely, but it's just a question of fine-tuning here.
Yeah, it was one thing when I didn't know about the $30,000 of capital gains and dividends that are actually not being taxed. But if you do the conversions, then some of that's going to be taxed. Well, they got a lot of room. It's just a matter of...
But you got to watch it. I mean...
And we're kicking on her Social Security in not too distant future.
She's
65 right now.
She's 65. She's waiting. Okay.
She's waiting until 66. She could take it now.
True. Okay. Well, hold on if you would, Gil, because you got some great questions. I got to get to Linda, though, next up. Not too far away. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Hello, Linda.
Hi.
How can we help you today?
Okay. I had called about a month ago about my Social Security. My husband is 70. He did take his Social Security at 62 and then went to disability with it. So it was like filed at the same time, okay? He is now 70 years old, and I'm turning 62 in March. And I had asked about disability for me off of my husband, and you said, no, I want to stay spousal.
Yeah.
So I did go, and my husband's amount is $1,596 a month, Social Security. And you said I would get approximately $800. And then when I went...
Well, no, you're going to get less than $800. If he's receiving $1,596 and he was receiving a disability benefit, did I hear that correctly, that his benefit was a disability benefit?
Well, he was 62 when he went, and he filed for his Social Security and then disability at the same time.
So did they give him the disability classification?
At that time, but now when he turns 65, it converts over to regular Social Security.
Right. So his full retirement age Social Security benefit is, call it, what did I say, $1,596, $1,600. So that's the full benefit. That's not a reduced Social Security benefit at age 62. That is the disability benefit without the reduction that switched over to retirement benefit later on. And that means the spousal benefit for you, because you're not disabled, is that correct?
I have severe rheumatoid, yes.
Well, then, do you have your own benefit?
No, I have not worked.
Okay.
I worked a long time ago, but okay. I have not worked in a very long time.
Okay, so you don't qualify for a disability classification from Social Security. So your only option at this point is the spousal benefit. And the spousal benefit will be 35% of his benefit, because you're only 62 years old, not 50%.
Right.
So 1600, 0.35. That means your benefit would be around 560.
Yeah, okay.
Give or take.
It turned out to 602.
602, okay, better than I expected, slightly. So, I mean, that's why, because you're taking a benefit at age 62. It's a reduced benefit because you are under full retirement age. And so they're not giving you 50% of your husband's benefit. They're giving you a lesser percentage of your husband's benefit. And it's not the 800 because you're 62 years of age. Now, he's probably receiving 1596, which means that's after the Social Security or the Medicare premium. So his benefit's actually a little bit higher, and that's why you're getting the 600. But that's the number you're going to get unless you wait for a longer period of time.
And that's my next question. We're financially okay, but the money would definitely help because we're still in our own home. Should I wait or should I take it? The Social Security office advised that I wouldn't recoup that money. There was no reason to wait. I want to know your opinion.
I tend to agree unless you're like one of our earlier callers that said you're going to live to be 200 years old. And not just you, your husband's going to live a long, long time because he's got a little bit of a head start. So is he going to make it to 90?
Maybe, maybe not. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to take a break. So hold on a second, Linda. We can talk to you more off the air if you have some more questions. If he is going to make it to 90.
Yeah, that's a crapshoot, though. I mean, I would probably lean towards taking it now unless you promise me he's going to make it to at least 90s and maybe even 100.
Yeah, you got to do and both of them, too.
And
right?
She has to live to 82, 83.
Exactly. Okay, Linda, thanks for the call. If you have some more questions, we'll talk to you off the air. Roger in Dallas, don't go away. You will be next. We'll give you plenty of time to ask your question, and we will answer it for you. Just hang on a couple of minutes here as we take a break. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, just two lines open, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. We're coming right back. F minor 7. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877 Planner. That sticks out in my head. I don't know. Welcome back to the program. There's another hour coming up in many, if not most, cities across the country, so stay tuned for more. We haven't yet finished that discussion on reverse mortgages. We may spill that over into another hour. But anything that you want to talk about, you're welcome to call on that. We will answer your money questions for you, 877-752-6637. Okay, Roger's been hanging on for a while in Dallas. Roger, thank you for hanging on. We appreciate it. How can we help you today?
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. I'm 62 years old, and the wife's 62. We're in three different income vehicles as far as our money goes, and I was thinking at 62 I can consolidate down to one brokerage house and probably if nothing else save money on my fees and everything doing that. But my question is, when I do that, should I stay in a traditional IRA like we're in now, or should I go ahead and roll it over into a Roth IRA?
Okay, there's really two different questions here. Should you consolidate down to one area, one account?
Right.
I'm not sure you can do everything you might need to do in one account, so you're probably going to end up with more than one account anyway. But if that's the way you want to do it, that's the other question is, should I convert some of my traditional IRA to Roth IRA? And that has more to do with the tax brackets that you're currently going to have to pay on the conversion and the ultimate tax bracket that you're going to have to pay when you pull the money out of the IRA if you do not convert the money. And so that's a tax play, where the other one is an ease of management play. They're two different game plans. Should you tell me a little bit about, are you retired now and what your income is looking like?
No, I'm not retired. I'm going to retire at 65 or 66. My income's around $65,000 a year. My wife retired from General Motors, and she's got an IRA with Fidelity. I've got an IRA through a discount broker, and plus my 401k at work, of which I contribute to at 13% right now. So when it's all said and done, at the time I retire, I think we're going to have around $400,000, maybe more. And I was just wondering, I've always heard about, and I don't know at our age, whether it's an advantage to go to a Roth IRA or stay traditional.
Now, you're currently making $65,000 a year. What is your wife making at this time, if anything?
She's working part-time for a catastrophe insurance company, and that usually anywhere from $40,000 to $60,000 a year. So our total household income for the past 10 years has been around $100,000, give or take $5,000.
Okay, and then when you ultimately retire, will you have pensions?
Other than what we have, we will receive Social Security, and we'll both have our 401k and IRAs.
Okay, so when you retire, you're going to have your Social Security, and then whatever you draw out of these IRAs, which you've projected to be about $400,000 at that time, right?
Right.
Okay, I would not do Roth conversions right now. With the income that you have right now, it's very likely that any Roth conversion would put you into the 25% income tax bracket. That's a little higher than what you're paying right now. You're right at the cusp of the 15 and the 25%. On the other side, when you ultimately retire and you're receiving your Social Security and your wife is receiving her Social Security and you're taking maybe, you know, $15,000 a year out of the IRAs, you're not going to pay any taxes at that point. So I'm looking at it as the fact that, do I want to pay 25% today or almost nothing or maybe nothing later on? I'll take the nothing.
I agree with you. I just wanted to make sure on that. I'd heard so much about Roth IRA, but that always seemed to be something you do at a very young age.
Well, yes. I mean, doing it at a young age makes a lot of sense. Mean that doing it at our age, I'm not going to say old, but doing it at a little advanced age doesn't make sense as well. It may just not make as much sense as it would for a 25-year-old. But it, in your case, I don't see where it makes sense at all. For some people, it may. And then, when you said you had $65,000 of income, if you had told me your wife was not working, I would have said, sure, let's do some conversions now to just to make sure you don't have to worry about any taxation on Social Security. I still don't think you're going to have to worry about it. But I think it's six of one, half dozen of the other if we were going to do it. But you got $100,000 of income. That means that you don't have any room left in the 15% bracket unless you just have a ton of write-offs. And it sounds like I don't know that you have a ton of write-offs, right?
No, not really.
So I would hang on. Now, if you wanted to split your contribution to the 401k to have some Roth contribution, if they offer that to you, that wouldn't be a problem to me.
Okay. Can I ask one more thing?
Sure. Go ahead.
If in the future I'd like to have some income coming from those IRAs, but at a low risk, of course, at our age, I've heard a lot about annuities and in particular fixed income annuity.
Right.
Do you guys believe that's a good avenue for a low risk?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they can work. They work very well. But I wouldn't do it for all of the money. I mean, obviously, I would only do it for a portion of the money. Now, the question is, would I do it with an index contract or would I do it with a variable contract? And that depends on some other issues. The income is going to be guaranteed either way. Now, it's just a matter of which one will give me the best income. If the incomes are identical, the guaranteed worst-case scenario is identical, I'll go with the variable because that at least gives me a chance of getting more income. Maybe not even a good one, but at least I have a chance. So I'm looking at
Do you have a chance of losing more with that variable?
Yes, losing more cash value, yes, but the income is guaranteed either way. So if I have the income guaranteed, now I can be a little bit more aggressive with the money because the cash value is not as big of a deal to me anymore, right?
Right.
So
I understand.
I want to get the income, but now if the because it's another 5-6 years down the line, if I can get better guaranteed incomes with the index side of it, I may go that way.
Right.
I'm looking at the income. That's what you said you wanted. I want to get the guaranteed income, the best possible guaranteed income. And if they're the same, I'll use a variable chassis because at least then I have a chance of doing better. Whereas with the index, you never have a chance of doing better than what the guarantee is, income.
Right. Okay. Well, that helps me a lot. I appreciate your time.
Okay, Roger, hold on. I got Professor Plum may have some more ideas for you here, so hold on if you need some more help with some of this stuff. There are fees, of course, on the variable side.
Fees on the index side,
sure,
too,
with
the guaranteed lifetime income. But he needs to have a strategy put together, and I would say a bucket strategy that could potentially incorporate a guaranteed lifetime income product to be able to get what he wants out of life.
Indeed. Okay, so we got some. We're out of time. If you need the brain trust off the air, you can reach Professor Plum or any of the Lucia Capital Group advisors at this number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. Talk to them about any of the products that you have or any of your aspects of your financial plan. Another hour is just ahead, so stick around. More Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Plum. Don't go away.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee.
Investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.